The American Medical Association is urging a ban on TV ads for prescription drugs and medical devices, saying they inflate the demand and cost of such products. However, the pharmaceutical industry is maintaining that the ads give consumers scientifically correct information to discuss with their doctors, leading us to today's big question. Do you think TV advertising for pharmaceutical products should be banned? And why or why not? I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 25th. We have two medical experts with us to weigh in on this week's big question, and we will welcome your questions and your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Curdine Show. You can also vote in our online poll, which is at wpr.org/joy. It's also linked to the Joy Curdine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our guests. We are very happy to have with us Dr. Sidney Wolfe, the founder and senior advisor of Public Citizens Health Research Group. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being with us. And also joining us is Dr. Mike Ibarra, a senior director of Alliance Development at the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let's begin with each of your opening statements on today's big question on whether or not we should ban advertising of prescription drugs on TV. Dr. Wolfe, since you agree with the American Medical Association's stance, let's go to you first. Why should these ads be banned on TV?
Well, as a policy matter, if it could be done, the ads should be banned just as much as the Citizens United decision by the Supreme Court, which allows millions of corporate money to go into affecting elections. This, the common denominator is that there's been an interpretation of the First Amendment free speech that says money, free speech, and direct-to-consumer advertising, free speech. So that if I had my druthers, which I would druther have, it should be banned. It has too much false and misleading information, contrary to the statement by the pharmaceutical manufacturers that it, as you alluded to, scientifically accurate information to patients so they can better informed is a good idea. But to confuse that with direct-to-consumer is wrong. I later will go into some specific examples of direct-to-consumer ads that are clearly false and misleading. And the other thing is that it causes important doctor conversations about health that might otherwise not take place. It certainly causes conversations about doctor-patient health, but both the doctors and patients can be misled by the ads, and it clearly works, as in it leads to more drugs being prescribed. There's good evidence that in markets where TV is pushing a given prescription drug in direct-to-consumer advertising, there's more use of it. So it clearly works from the standpoint of the industry selling more drugs by going to patients, even though they technically can't write prescriptions. But it has lots of downsides, and everywhere in the world except the United States and New Zealand, which is reconsidering it all the time, it is not allowed. So is the rest of the world wrong and the United States is right? I don't think so.
Well, we'll get into more details as we go along. But Dr. Ibarra, why do you think the ads should continue to run?
Sure, yeah, and thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having this conversation. I was actually at the AMA meeting. I'm a member. I was there just kind of attending and observing. And, you know, to be honest, the conversation was relatively balanced. It was a close vote. It was a close decision. And the folks that kind of spoke up in opposition to the resolution and opposition to supporting the ban made some very important points that I'll kind of make now. First of all, research actually shows that these ads can actually help improve healthcare communication. Exposure to a DTC ad actually prompted 27% of Americans to make an appointment with their doctor to talk about a condition that they hadn't previously discussed. And, you know, contrary to what was just said, actually, the ads don't, in fact, the vast majority of the time, lead to a prescription for that product. most of the time they don't actually lead to a prescription for the product, but they open up the door for an important healthcare conversation. And that's talking about symptoms that a patient may experience, or, you know, concerns that they may have. So essentially what I think, you know, these ads are meant to do are to provide scientifically accurate information to patients so that they can be better informed about their healthcare decisions and treatment options. And beyond just increasing awareness of disease and available treatments, you know, there are certain, you know, public health things that we actually want to be talking about, and vaccines are the perfect example. That was one thing that was raised at the AMA meeting. Actually, just before this resolution was considered, they talked about vaccinations and perhaps, you know, some public awareness around that. And I think the biopharmaceutical industry is in a position to be able to educate about things like vaccination. In addition, there are conditions that, you know, have actually been, to a certain extent, destigmatized because of advertising. There are symptoms of depression that weren't as commonly known prior to TV ads. There are, you know, health issues. I recently read an article that talked about, you know, prostate issues for men and not wanting to talk about having to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. But, you know, hearing about it and reading about it and or seeing it has led to destigmatization. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is what DTC does is it opens the door to a conversation with a physician and their doctor, with the physician and the patient.
Let's focus on the cost for a second. Drug makers in 2014 spent $4.5 billion marketing prescription drugs, which was $1 billion more than in 2012. The AMA, in its vote, was saying that all this marketing and is driving up the cost of prescription drugs and the demand for them. Dr. Ibarra, are these ads making prescription drugs more expensive or not?
Well, the ads are really just to increase awareness about the products and increase awareness of the disease. Prescription drug manufacturers, the research and development companies that we represent, spend a significant amount of their resources, significantly more than advertising, on research and development, in fact. You know, this is something that is often said, that, you know, drug manufacturers spend more on advertising than R&D, but, you know, the number that you just cited is significantly lower than what our members alone spent last year. They invested $51 billion in research and development. So a significant amount more in resources is devoted to finding new treatments and cures and bringing those to market for the unmet needs that currently exist in the healthcare system. I think we can all agree that, you know, while we've made incredible leaps and bounds over the last, you know, 40 to 50 years in terms of new treatments and cures for diseases, there are, you know, there are still areas that we have unmet need, and a number of our companies are focused on those areas, whether it's Alzheimer's, cancer. The research and development process is incredibly important, and a significant amount more is spent on R&D.
Yeah, Dr. Wolf, do you think that the TV ads are raising the cost of prescription drugs?
Well, I don't disagree that more money is spent on R&D than on advertising. But on the other hand, he didn't really answer your question. Your question is the $4.5 or $4.4 billion being spent on direct-to-consumer advertising increasing the cost of drugs? Unless you believe that the industry is just sort of doing this and taking a hit on it, it obviously does increase the price of drugs. Drugs that don't advertise, generic drugs, for instance, happen to be less expensive. Their prices are going up, to be sure. So the other thing that I disagree with is that public service campaigns that say there's flu around, everyone should get flu vaccination, the government, the Centers for Disease Control do things like that. At one time, drug companies in a non-product specific way would help with that. They may still be doing it now, but that's a big distinction between a general topic, go and have your blood pressure checked or whatever else, and promoting a specific drug. The reason why the money is well spent from the prescription drug company's perspective is that it increases the sales. Yes, every single person that walks into the doctor's office with a complaint that may have been generated, so to speak, by an ad doesn't get a prescription, but the net effect is really negative. It's interesting that our co-discussant from the Pharmaceutical Manufacturers Association mentioned prostate and bringing things out of the closet. I mean, one of the most recent ads stopped by the FDA because it was false and misleading, was for a drug for people with enlarged prostate. And the point is that the company in the ad made statements that completely misrepresent the evidence for the drug. The ad said BPH, prostatic hypertrophy symptom relief, that works nights so he can work days. And the implication is that there's evidence that this drug reduces the number of times someone has to get up in the night to go to the bathroom, and that it improves the quality of sleep and of work. There's no evidence for that whatsoever, and yet this ad is designed to sell more of this drug.
Yeah, let me jump in because we have a newscast coming up from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue debating today's big question. Should pharmaceutical TV ads be banned? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. The American Medical Association recently threw its support behind banning TV ads for prescription drugs and medical devices, claiming they inflate the demand and cost of such products. However, the pharmaceutical industry maintains the ads make consumers aware of their options and provide information to discuss with their doctors. So which of the following best describes how you feel? Should the ads be banned? Or should the ads continue to run? That's today's big question, and that's the online question that you will find on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have two guests debating today's big question. Dr. Sidney Wolf is the founder and senior advisor of Public Citizens Health Research Group. He says, ban the ads. Dr. Mike Ibarra is Senior Director of Alliance Development at the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. He says, no, don't ban the ads. And we welcome what your questions and your views, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, I need to give Dr. Ibarra a chance to respond to Dr. Wolf's comments just before the newscast, where he said that there is some false advertising going on. Dr. Ibarra, he said, for example, a prescription that said it would help prostate conditions was, I guess, pulled because it was inaccurate. What's your response to that?
Well, I'd just like to say that this form of communication or advertising is actually highly regulated by the FDA. It's one of the most regulated forms of communication that exist. And we, Pharma, as a trade association, we have guiding principles that the majority of companies have signed on to. And the kind of, I guess, the foundation of those principles is that we believe that the ad should, of course, comply with the FDA requirements, and those four requirements of the ad should be accurate, not misleading, that they should make claims that are only supported by substantial evidence, that they should reflect the balance between the risk and benefits, and then they should be consistent with the FDA-approved labeling. So again, the point is really to raise awareness about disease and particular treatment options, but to do so within, the confines of this, highly regulated system.
Yeah, let's go to Kevin in Duluth. Hi, Kevin.
Oh, hi there, everyone. The majority of these ads are one big, long disclaimer, and frankly, they kind of crack me up because the potential side effects are often worse than what the pill is being prescribed for. So for entertainment value, yeah, keep them coming.
It's a sort of tongue-in-cheek, but Dr. Ibarra, these ads, he says, are just one long disclaimer or the list of side effects.
Well, I think that leads nicely from what I said before. The question was that they do need to reflect the balance between risks and benefits, and so there is time devoted to explaining some of the potential side effects.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Wolf, there are all those side effects are listed.
Well, again, Dr. Ibarra says that these are highly regulated. Theoretically, they are. The FDA has an office that looks at this. In 1996-97, approximately 150 of these illegal, false and misleading, overstating the benefits, understating the risk ads were stopped. As a result of deregulation in a way, the number of these has gone down by about 80 or 90%. This year, for example, we're in well into November, only 9 of these ads have been stopped. Interestingly, several of them are direct-to-consumer ads. And so when, instead of accurate information, the theoretical content of these ads, they are actually inaccurate, overstating the benefits, understating the risks. I mean, for example, Kim Kardashian on social network in the last few months was running an ad for a drug used for nausea and vomiting in pregnancy called Dikligos. And nowhere was there any information about the risk. It was just sort of benefit. It was sort of, oh my God, have you heard about this? This kind of stuff. And the ad was stopped, but it had already been going on for a while, and given that you've lost about 90% of the enforcement actions, not because the ads aren't misleading, but because a government study showed that the FDA is way behind, is taking way too long to do this. So in the meantime, these ads run. Once the government says stop them, they're stopped, but by then, lots of drugs have been sold. Lots of doctors and patients, because doctors watch these ads also, have been misled into thinking the drug is safer than it is, that it's more effective, and they make a decision to prescribe it. Not every time, but often enough that it pays the company to do this. Again, confusing public service announcements that don't mention any drug, which are a good idea. The government does a lot. The industry used to do a lot more with product-specific ads that are intended to sell a drug. And the best way to sell a drug is to overstate its benefits, claim that it does things such as that prostate drug I mentioned before, or understating the risks such as this drug for people with nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. It was the second time, as a matter of fact, that this company had been caught. In 2013, they had been caught doing the same kind of thing, and they came back because they didn't have to pay anything, and they knew that they could do it again for a while until they get caught. So the companies do what they can get away with, knowing that it is not really properly regulated.
And do you have a response, Dr. Ibarra?
Well, I think this kind of highlights the world that we are moving towards, which is this world of incredible amounts of information, whether it's coming from companies, which I would say, you know, I still contend that company communications are extremely regulated. But patients, you know, that I see are getting information from all sorts of places. I mean, it is extremely rare that someone has not gone to the internet to look at a source. And so I think we're in a world where patients are really seeking information from you know, a number of sources, from an incredible array that, you know, there are so many places that people can get information. And so I think, you know, from a kind of policy standpoint, we advocate for responsible communication that do balance the risks and benefits, that, you know, that ads should kind of make that, you know, make that accurate reflection to patients, that, you know, the claims should be supported by substantial evidence. But of course, you know, as new media, you know, comes up, it is a challenge to keep the, you know, for the FDA to certainly stay up to date on all of those new apps and new ways of communicating. And certainly patients are, you know, going to the web, seeking out information, you know, not just about pharmaceuticals, but about everything. When I'm seeing patients, again, it's rare that someone has not already kind of looked up their symptoms on the internet. So I would just say that, you know, this is kind of the world that we're in, and moving to more of an information sharing world. And so I think we need, you know, appropriate guardrails, but we need also to have kind of this accurate, not misleading communication that gives patients the information that they're looking for.
Leah in Whitehall is with us. Hello, Leah. What do you think?
Oh, hi. See, first of all, thanks for the topic. I think it's a wonderful topic, and I do think it needs to be discussed. From a regulatory standpoint, do I think that the ads should be stopped? Not necessarily, but do I think that they need to change? Certainly. And one of the biggest things that I was thinking about as I'm listening is really health literacy. And I think that that needs to be such a bigger piece of all of this, is really if we have this format to provide information about certain symptoms or whatever, is there any reason why we can't be using this format to really teach people what they need to know and understand about their body, how it's working, what's wrong, when to see the doctor, etc., versus pushing a drug for a particular system?
Yeah.
So
I'm sorry, Leah, just because we have a lot of other callers, too. What about, I guess we'll start with Dr. Ibarra. Why a specific drug being promoted? Why not just to health literacy is what I think Leah is saying.
Well, I think ads do try and balance that. I mean, they talk about symptoms. They talk about, you know, the kind of signs and symptoms of particular diseases, and then they, you know, oftentimes will kind of make a reflection of a potential option, and that's often the one that, you know, that particular company manufactures. But, you know, I think there is an array, and Dr. Wolf kind of alluded that to that as well, that there are an array of communications, and some are kind of general, some are a little bit more general, some are more specific. So, again, there's a vast array of need out there for information. Some are looking for very specific information for a condition that they may be afflicted with, or they may take note of symptoms that are mentioned that they, you know, may cause them to seek help from their physician, or they could be more broader messaging. And again, that's where I think, you know, vaccines and other kind of public health issues could come up.
Yeah, Dr. Wolf, I wanted you to also respond to Dr. Ibarra's opening statement, where he said that often this prompts someone to go to the doctor because they are experiencing symptoms of some sort of health malady, but it doesn't necessarily result in a prescription for the ad they saw. But they might be getting taken care of, but they're not going to necessarily get that particular prescription. What about that?
Well, I think that doctors who have the time, which increasingly isn't the case, when they see a patient, they take a history and they ask about things, including, are you having trouble with your prostate? In other words, are you having to urinate more often and so forth? So that's a good history. And I don't think that ads really substitute for a good history. But I think that the distinction between things that the FDA doesn't regulate, which are campaigns for public health, vaccines and so forth, the distinction between that and pushing a specific drug is important, because in one case the FDA has jurisdiction, the other doesn't. I didn't have time to mention that in this Kim Kardashian social media, yes, there are more sources, but she said, I am so excited and happy with my results, I'm partnering with Duchesne USA, the company that makes this drug. So she's obviously getting paid to do this social media. And she's getting paid to do something that happens to omit any mention of any risk and forgets to tell women that if you have really the severe nausea and vomiting pregnancy, there's no evidence that this drug is safe or effective. So a line can be drawn between things that are involving products, and these are called advertisements, and things that don't involve products. And I think that we need the question about general health information absolutely right. But health misinformation, which is too often the case with these ads, overstating benefits, understating risks, does no one a good service, and in fact can not only cause more money, but can actually result often enough in prescriptions that worsen someone's health instead of benefiting it. So we need to draw this line, whether it's in the schools or whether it is in accurate information on talk shows or whatever else, but not information that is too often, and I say too often because the number of instances of this and repeat instances in the case of this drug for a pregnant woman is just too concerning, and FDA's enforcement action is a disaster right now compared with what it was. It came under careful scrutiny, and they said they weren't doing enough of these compared with before, and that they were taking so long that by the time they got to some of these ads, many people have seen it, many prescriptions have been written, and in many cases, someone's health was worsened, not benefited.
Karen on Facebook says, I'm a pharmacist. Ban the ads. The only ads you see are for outrageously expensive drugs, and this leads to too much self-diagnosis. Let me ask Dr. Wolf to bring this one back. What's wrong with a self-diagnosis? What's wrong with a patient going to the doctor saying, I think I have X and I need Y, and you know the doctor can say, no, you don't?
Well, I think that, again, let's draw the distinction. I think it's fairly easy to draw, because if you don't mention a product at all or a disease for which there is no other product, then it is a public health thing. And I think there isn't enough discussion by non-commercial sources on television or radio or in the print media about what are the fundamental things that you should be checking up on, preventive medicine, things like that. That is different from a very conflicted in the sense that the company wants to sell drugs, and as I said before, they know that the best way to sell drugs is if they can get away with it, and they get away with it too often, overstate the benefits and understate the risks. So big difference between health information that is accurate. Again, the pharma statement is scientifically accurate information to patients so they can better be formed. The first part of that is right, but the part that precedes it is that this is offered by DTC ads. Sometimes it is, but too often it isn't, and that's why the rest of the world doesn't allow this.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Ibarra, the only ads you see, according to Karen, outrageously expensive drugs, and this leads to too much self-diagnosis.
Well, I don't think we should ever discourage patients from kind of seeking care, and I think, you know, these ads, again, open the door to a conversation. They don't, the data shows they don't, in the vast majority of cases, lead to prescriptions for that particular product, but it opens the door to a conversation. And I'll just reiterate the statistic that I said earlier, which is that, you know, 20% of Americans make an appointment to see their physician to talk about a condition that they hadn't previously discussed. And I'll also raise that, you know, the FDA actually does longitudinal studies on direct-to-consumer advertising, and their data actually kind of supports that they found that 53% of physicians said that DTC ads, direct-to-consumer ads, led to better discussions with patients, and 73% of physicians in their survey actually reported that consumer advertising helped patients ask more thoughtful questions. So, you know, in terms of, you know, where science and medicine is at, last year there were, I think, 41 new drug approvals. Vast majority of them are first-in-class medicines. So when new medicines come to market, you know, there is a need to disseminate information. And again, patients and physicians are seeking information from a wide array of sources, and this is one. And I just, again, want to reiterate that, you know, the pharma code does state that they should be accurate, not misleading, and communication should reflect a balance between risks and benefits. And the claim should only be supported by substantial evidence.
Gary says, a doctor has to actually prescribe a drug. How do doctors fit in with all this? Aren't they a safeguard against someone asking for something they saw on TV? So, Dr. Wolf.
Well, again, cutting through what Dr. Barr just said, that the AMA voted, it may be the close vote, but it's the first time they've really taken this issue seriously. They voted that it actually is worsening the doctor-patient relationship, driving up the cost of drugs, and that they should be banned. They did not mention the details because they may not have had access to them. These things are hidden on the FDA website. All these ads that have been stopped, another ad was stopped for thyroid medicine because they didn't really adequately describe the risk of it. Another drug was stopped for a drug that's used for people to prevent blood clots and so forth, Xarelto, one of the leading drugs. And the ad clearly overstated in bold terms, accurate but bold terms, the benefits and understated the risk. There was no adequate balance between the benefits and the risk, and that's, of course, the standard. So the bottom line, even for the AMA, is that they think that they should be banned, and again, the rest of the world has banned it. Frequently, the FDA, this country does things that no other country does. We sell more arms than any country and so forth, and is the rest of the world wrong because they don't sell enough arms? In this case, we sell more drugs. Yes, every patient that goes to a doctor from a direct consumer ever doesn't get the drug, but it happens enough. Again, a survey, published medical journal article, showed that in those parts of the country where a specific drug was being more promoted on television compared with those parts of the country where that drug was not being as promoted on television, the drug sold much more during the period of time the ad was running. So there's no question it works. I mean, I don't think...
I have to jump in again because we have one more newscast from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll continue discussing and debating today's big question. Should pharmaceutical ads on TV be banned or not? This is the Ideas Network. Should pharmaceutical ads on TV be banned? Why or why not? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The American Medical Association recently urged a ban on drug ads on TV, saying they inflate the cost and the demand of certain prescriptions. But the pharmaceutical industry maintains that the ads increase consumer awareness and provide information for patients to discuss with their doctors. So, leading us to ask you, do you think that these ads should be banned or not, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you an opportunity for a sound-off at the very end of the hour, but we will get a few more responses and points from our two guests. Dr. Sidney Wolf, founder and senior advisor of Public Citizens Health Research Group, who supports a ban, and Dr. Mike Ibarra, Senior Director of Alliance Development at the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. He does not support a ban. Babette in West Bend is with us. Hi, Babette.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have felt very strongly about your topic for a long, long time, and not just for the drug industry, but for everything. I think there should be a time regulation on all the ads. It's a complete brainwashing, a bombardment. If anything, if it can't be banned, I would suggest number of times that an item is able to be repeated in a certain amount of time. I think that the media is treating the public as though we were brainless. Also,
but specifically with the when it comes to the drugs and this specific question, Babette.
Okay, that this topic is considered a health care. I kind of disagree, because if you take if you have one minor little thing issue and you take something for it, it causes several major issues. If you listen very carefully on the ads, and I'm sure many do, it may affect your liver, it may affect your kidneys. So you're doing a 1+ versus a 15% to 20% negative of side effects.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Well, she thinks we are bombarded with not only drug company ads, but other ads. A listener emails, emailing saying, men know if they have erectile dysfunction. I would prefer not to have to watch TV with my 8-year-old grandson and have to explain the lady in the blue dress. Plus, I understand those drugs are not covered by some insurances and are very expensive. We have a lot of comments, too, on our Facebook page saying, I see these ads all the time during the news. That's the only ads we see on TV. Dr. Ibarra, you want to talk a little bit about us being bombarded by these ads so much?
Well, I mean, I'm not, I'm not really an expert in kind of the placement or, how that is decided. I'm really more kind of speaking for the, potential health benefits of, mm-hmm. of having these conversations. And I'll just say, in my clinical experience, I still practice medicine. I work, with pharma, but I see patients, perhaps as a result of my specialty, I'm an emergency physician. You know, this really just doesn't come up in my patient encounters, and again, I don't want to kind of downplay that it probably, is more prevalent in a primary care setting where patients are kind of seeking care for this, for something that they saw. But, in kind of my experience, it's just much more limited. I don't want to say it's never happened, because I'm sure that it has, but, patients are seeking care, again, for a wide variety of reasons. They're getting information from a wide variety of sources. And if someone is coming to the office because something prompted them to do that, then I think we should really see that as an opportunity, and we should take advantage of that. And again, not everybody that comes in requesting a particular medicine is going to get that. And I think the caller's point about side effects is an important one, and that's clearly the role of the physician. That's what makes our job really challenging and fun and exciting, is to make sure that we're making the right decision for the patient, that we're balancing the risks and benefits, that we're making the right diagnosis at the right time, we're getting the patient on the right treatment.
Well, we should probably close now by getting each of your closing arguments on TV advertising for prescription drugs. Since Dr. Wolf began the hour, we'll get the closing statement of Dr. Ibarra first. Why should pharmaceutical ads continue to run on TV?
Well, thanks, first of all, for having me, and thanks for the thoughtful questions. And I'll just close by saying again that, pharma and our role as an industry association with member companies, we are, committed. We have guiding principles on this topic, and we do believe that ads should be accurate, not misleading. We should make claims that are supported by evidence, that balance the risks and benefits, and are consistent with the FDA-approved labeling. And really, you know, the point of these ads are to increase health awareness so that patients may hear about symptoms, go to their doctor, ask questions, and potentially, you know, potentially receive that treatment. But, you know, another win is for the patient to, you know, see an ad and think to talk to their doctor about symptoms that may ultimately be depression or another medical condition. You know, we want to make sure we're catching people with diabetes and hypertension. We want to make sure we're diagnosing people with chronic diseases earlier. So if an ad makes somebody go to the doctor's office and we're able to detect a chronic disease earlier in the process before it's too late, then that certainly is a victory as well for the healthcare system.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mike Ibarra, Senior Director of Alliance Development at the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America. Dr. Wolf, why should the pharmaceutical TV ads be banned?
Public service announcements by the government or anyone else that don't mention a specific product, drug, medical device, that get people to go to the doctor, great idea, but that is a very different thing from prescription drug advertising. Too often, it is false and misleading. When the public is asked, as they are every year by Harris Poll, which industries do you think are honest and trustworthy, only outflanked usually by the tobacco and oil industries is the pharmaceutical industry. There's a lot of distrust of the industry, and as more people learn about the kinds of misleading ads that are going on, and as the rest of the world wonders why is the United States allowing that, I think that eventually it will get put under some kind of control. It's unfortunate that the First Amendment encourages companies to give massive amounts of money for political campaigns, and in this case to spend massive amounts of patients' money, because it does increase the cost of drugs, for ads that are too often false and misleading and do a lot of harm. The good that they do could be done not associated with a product.
Thank you very much for being with us. Dr. Sidney Wolf is the founder and senior advisor of Public Citizens Health Research Group. So you've heard both sides of today's big question: should pharmaceutical TV ads be banned? Now it's your turn to sound off. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. During our big question sound offs, we give you 30 seconds to give us your answer to the big question and tell us why. So 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This big question was a resolution that was approved by the American Medical Association. It has no immediate impact, as only the Food and Drug Administration or Congress has the power to ban pharmaceutical advertising. The AMA is urging a ban. So you tell us what you think now in the sound off. Let's go to the phones. We have Jen in Monticello with us. Hi, Jen.
Hi. They should be banned. I disagree that most people go to the Internet and check. Most people 40 and over are not that connected to the Internet, and that is who these are designed to target. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Jen. Next we go to Gail in Fish Creek. What do you think, Gail?
Hi. I think that they should be banned. They should have been banned for the last 20 years. They are a subliminal program. And when you know that the drugs that are being promoted actually do more damage than good, and some of them actually are the core cause of Alzheimer's and cognitive decline, and that has actually been documented, that has been researched, there are articles out there, statins cause brain decline, painkillers, night aids that make you sleep, those all cause brain decline. That's all been studied. That's all been researched, all by legitimate doctors. There's books out there. People need to educate themselves and stop giving their power away and thinking something's wrong. Stop getting paranoid.
Thank you very much, Gail. Next we go to Maddie in Wapaka. Hi, Maddie. What do you think?
I think they should be banned. People should read the book. It's called Deadly Medicine and Organized Crime: How Big Pharma Has Corrupted Healthcare, and then they should contact their government officials. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Jeff on Facebook says, advertise only in medical journals. Advertise to the people who can actually prescribe the medication. We have Kevin in Janesville now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I also think the ads should be banned, number one. If your doctor's first response is to grab the prescription pad, maybe you've got the wrong doctor. And two, big pharmacology companies are in business to make money off of us and keep us in perpetual medication.
Oh, we lost you, I guess, Kevin, but we got your vote. Thank you very much. Karen in Franklin is next. Hi, Karen.
I think the ads should be banned unless they are truly just PSA. From experience in working in an emergency department, I know that patients can come in. It's not the same sort of drug, but they will demand to have an antibiotic when they have a cold. And doctors can cave in, and they'll give them the drug, even though it may not be the best thing for them. We should ban them.
Thank you very much to Karen. Patrick in Greenfield. Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm against having ads promoting drugs, and it's very simple. The industry itself knows how productive ads are for generating sales. I mean, they actually can put it down to X amount of dollars will bring back X amount of revenue, and this is purely a money maker for the pharmacies and makers of these drugs instead of providing good health care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. In our one more, Jonathan in Appleton. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. Echoing much of what he just said, actually, is that a lot of these drugs, in fact, have already been in existence, and the research and development of them has been long paid for. So the continued inflation of them that's justified by these expensive advertising campaigns just passes on an inexcusable expense to the consumer.
Thank you very much. Well, everybody, at least who got on air, is in support of a ban of these pharmaceutical TV ads. You can continue voting online. We have our online poll at WPR.org/joy. It's also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And so far on our online poll, 89% of you say the ads should be banned. 10% of you say the ads should continue to run. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction and to Elizabeth Delaquest for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.